Kendall Rogers of PerfectGame.org, as he joined us on the Arkansas Mailing Services Hotline. How's it going, Kendall?
Going pretty good, man. It's a long last, about 24 hours, but we finally know the field we have, and I'm ready, as well as I'm sure coaches and players are, for the postseason.
Yeah, I tell you, it's been a wild last few days for you. I guess, now, are you headed to the Baton Rouge Regional?
Yeah, you know, I usually try to stick around, because I'm on the road so much. I usually try to stick around to the Texas Regional, somewhere in the state of Texas, but you know, for the first time since 95, the second time since 64, there's not going to be a regional here. So I'll be hitting the road to Baton Rouge. And, that'll be an intriguing regional. But certainly, you look at Arkansas's regional, that's certainly a little bit more intriguing. So it'll be a fun weekend.
Yeah, when you look at that Arkansas regional, you've got Kansas State, Wichita State, Bryant, and then Arkansas. I look at this Bryant team, and I've talked to some other people. I just don't know what to think about them. They don't play in a very tough conference. I mean, their biggest win this year came against Ohio State. They beat them 1-3. Do you see this as being much of a matchup for the Razorbacks?
I think Arkansas will win, but I've talked about Bryant as kind of a under-the-radar Northeastern team to keep an eye on all year long. I think when you look at their ace, Peter Kelch, he's a guy that has the potential to go out there and shut you down. And so, you know, from Arkansas' standpoint, you know, the offense hasn't exactly – knock the cover off the ball here the last few weeks. So I think the big key for Arkansas against him, he's obviously a seasoned veteran than Stonewall, just to get off to a hot start. I think if you can get a team like that who's in kind of their first hurrah, so to speak, you can kind of get them on their heels a little bit. So, I'm not sure. I don't think Arkansas is going to lose, but, I also don't think it's going to be one of those 10-2 type of games either.
Yeah, and looking over all the teams in the tournament, and we were talking earlier about how UCA had to win 5 in a row and win their tournament, and they actually took 2 of 3 in a midweek series against Mississippi State. How much does that factor in, the fact that they know that they beat them 2 of 3, they are going to throw their ace the first game. Do you think they have a chance to get out of there, and who do you see right now that are kind of your hottest teams going into this tournament?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and what's crazy is they actually won a weekend series against those guys. So,
okay.
I mean, the fact that they were able to roll in the Starkville, win a weekend series, yeah, it was February, March, but that's still a pretty big deal. And I think that when you look at UCA top to bottom, that's a pretty good club. I mean, you look at Bryce Biggerstaff and Caleb McClanahan, two really good starters for them. Forrest Allday is kind of a big little spark plug type of guy for them in their lineup. But, I think they got a shot. I think when you look at that regional overall, they can get past Mississippi State in their first game, which, based on earlier matchups, you have to assume that they'll have a chance to beat them. You look at South Alabama and Mercer, both teams who don't pitch extremely well but are very offensive. UCA has some pitching. So they've got a chance to win that regional. I wouldn't pick them, but I think they certainly have a chance, which is more I could say that, more than I could say for most of the number four seeds. But I think when you look at hottest team in the field right now, I think you've got to look at, Austin Peay. This is a team that's going to the Bloomington Regional. They've won 15 straight games. You look at Florida Atlantic. I believe they're on an 11-game winning streak. They won the Sun Belt Tournament. Had to beat some pretty good teams to get there, including Louisiana Lafayette, South Alabama, teams like that. And then you look at Fullerton, Virginia Tech, and Rice. Virginia Tech being kind of the surprise name out of that group of five. Virginia Tech has just played fantastic baseball the last couple of weeks. They've got a tremendous offensive lineup. Pitching can be a little iffy at times, but when they're on, they're very good. They've got pitching a lot of upside. So, Virginia Tech drew Oklahoma in the regional, and that'll be difficult to get through Jonathan Gray and Dylan Overton. But Votek certainly is playing very good baseball right now. And, of course, looking at Rice, I would say Rice would be kind of a team to keep an eye on to potentially win that Eugene Regional over Oregon this weekend.
Kendall Rogers of PerfectGame.org joining us on Overtime. Kendall, I'm sitting here looking at an article that you wrote recently dissecting the NCAA field, and you pretty much went over everything from giving grades to the chair on the as far as the committee putting things out there. I really love it, and if you want to see more about this article, just go to PerfectGame.org. But you know, one thing I noticed in the article, you have a section where it says why Arkansas didn't host, and you broke that down, and at the end of the day, it comes down to their non-conference schedule just pretty much was terrible.
Yeah, I was some of these numbers they announced are not readily available. So I'll be honest with you, it shocked me that Arkansas's non-conference strength of schedule was 291 out of 296 teams. I honestly kind of find that hard to believe, but I have no reason to believe that they put up their fake number. But if that's the case, I mean, that, you know, it's hard to really doubt those guys, and if that's truly their non-conference RPI strength of schedule, I mean. So, you know, that's a legitimate gripe. But I'll say this, and I kind of said this on the SEC broadcast and here the other day, is when you look at Arkansas' resume, okay, yeah, they played a bad non-conference schedule. But you're talking about a team that finished third in the SEC, swept South Carolina on the road, took two or three from Mississippi State. You know, to me, if you can do that in the Southeastern Conference, that overrides anything you did in non-conference. So I would have given them a host over South Carolina, but, you know, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the other national guys feel that way too, so it's kind of too bad that we're not on the committee and not, you know, some of the guys that are on the committee now.
Well, and what I was going to also ask you was, we had, I forget who it was it, what was his name?
We had Brian Foley.
Yeah, we had Brian Foley, and he was talking about that LSU side that they're on, that was probably the easiest route that he was looking at. And I was going to ask you who you thought probably had kind of the easiest side to make it to a super regional, and then who has the toughest?
I think when you look at toughest, I think you look at Starkville. I think anytime the number one seed has to start off with a team that has beaten you on the weekend, to me that automatically makes it a tough regional. You throw in two teams, and if you don't show up and pitch well, they're going to just knock you all over the yard. I would go with Starkville as my toughest. I think easiest, I'm going to go a different route here. I'm going to go with Chapel Hill. You look at North Carolina, you look at the regional, you know, Towson. A team with an RPI of 90 is the three seed there. Obviously, North Carolina doesn't have a tough four seed, which is, you know, obviously they're not going to get a tough four seed as a number one seed. But then you look at Florida Atlantic. I like Florida Atlantic's club. I think John McCormick has really done a nice job there. Florida Atlantic's a solid club. Do I think they can get to North Carolina? No. So I look at three of those four teams in that regional. Pretty much easy win.
Kendall Rogers joining us with perfectgame.org. You can follow him on Twitter at Kendall Rogers PG for more information throughout the NCAA baseball tournament. Now, Kendall, when I look over all these teams, I see the number one seeds. Virginia Tech in that Blacksburg region getting a number one seed, I don't know if I agree with that or not. It just seems to me like the NCAA committee really wanted to get an ACC team to Omaha.
Well, if that was the case, and I know what you're trying to say, but if that was the case, NC State would have been a national seed. And the fact of the matter is, NC State should have been a national seed.
Yeah.
Those guys were 18-10 against RPI top 50. Oregon was 6-10 against RPI top 50. So they had more wins against top 50 teams, and Oregon even played top 50 teams. So, you know, if they were wanting to get a more ACC teams in, they would have given North Carolina State a national. But they're going back to Virginia Tech. You know, I'm okay with those guys getting a host. I mean, I would have given Arkansas one over South Carolina. But if you're going to give host by conference, I have no problem with them getting a host over Clemson. I think when you look at Virginia Tech, they're 8-2 in their last 10. They got 13 wins in the RPI top 50. And don't forget, they got a series win over Virginia and Florida State. So, series wins like that go a long way in the eyes of the committee, and Dennis Farrell, the committee chair, said as much yesterday.
You said you're headed down to the Baton Rouge regional. One thing in that regional that I like, that Sam Houston team, that's a pretty good number three seed. I think that if they move on to play in LSU, they could give LSU all they want.
No, I agree. I think Sam Houston's the one team that regional that can give them a few headaches. I think Louisiana Lafayette's a team. You know, Austin Robichaud, their ace pitcher's a good arm, but they're going to have to throw him against Sam Houston State. So I think when you look at the rest of that regional, I think when you look at Sam Houston State, Cody Dixon, Caleb Smith, Tyler Epler, all three really good weekend starters. You're right, they can give LSU a headache or two, but I just think from an offensive standpoint, it's just going to be hard for all those teams to keep up with LSU. So, you know, I like the Tigers' chances in that here moving forward in the postseason.
And Kendall, give me a three or four seed, like a dark horse, out of this that you see, or if there's one or two dark horse teams that aren't a one or two seed that you could see causing some havoc and making it to a super regional?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the Los Angeles regional. I think San Diego's a club that is so up and down. But when you look at Chris Bryant kind of leading that lineup, they've always got potential to win a regional. I think when you look elsewhere around the country, I think you look at Florida as the number three in Bloomington. Florida's a team that obviously, as you guys have seen, is very up and down. But, they have more talent than anybody in that regional. And if they have a good weekend, they've got a chance to win. And I think, going way off the beaten path here, I'm going to go with the Fullerton Regional in New Mexico. I still think Fullerton wins that regional. But I think if there's one team that could have a big weekend and win that regional, it'll be New Mexico. Ray Birmingham's doing a nice job with that program. They're very good this year offensively. They're solid pitching-wise. They're okay. And they have one of the top hitters in college baseball, DJ Peterson. So New Mexico, if they can get past Arizona State, that sets up a pretty good matchup with Fullerton there in that second game. I'm assuming Fullerton will get by the Fighting Lions at Columbia, but that could be a pretty good second-round matchup.
Were you surprised that there were nine teams from the SEC in the tournament, especially seeing a Florida at a three seed, and they went 29-28 this year?
Yeah, I thought two were going to get in. I didn't think three, and I thought my two would be Auburn and A&M. Again, Florida, I wouldn't have put them in, but I'm not really against putting them in. They did play such a tough schedule. But I thought when you looked at Auburn, you look at the fact they finished the year with a series wins over Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Florida. To me, that's all the statement I needed, and I thought they should have gotten in. I think when you look at A&M, I think A&M had a nice showing in Hoover, but you're talking about a team that went 10-21 against RPI top 50. And I think, they're not going to say they only got in because of the 80s on the committee, but there's no doubt that plays a big part of the fact they're even a two seed. I don't know how they're a two seed. At the most, they should have been one of the first one or two teams in.
And Kendall, who got snubbed? We always talk about that in the NCAA basketball tournament, your couple teams. Not that they, in NCAA basketball, not that they have a chance to win it, but there's always a couple teams that like, they probably should have been in. Who do you have a couple teams that got snubbed?
I do. I look at the Campbell Camels as a team I thought should have gotten in. I've had a lot of outrage from coaches around the country with their exclusion from the field. Campbell's a team that was 49-10 in the regular season, went 14-5 on the road, 9-1 the last 10, won the Big South regular season championship, and was one out away from winning the tournament championship. The reason why they didn't get in, I think the schedule's 237. So that's not good. But, they got some different circumstances. It's a religious school. They can't play on Sundays. It's hard for them to schedule good opponents. So I would have put them in. To me, you win 49 games. I don't care what conference you're in, you should have gotten in. And kind of another team, I look at is Seton Hall. Seton Hall, a team that, went on the road a lot early in the year, put together 18 wins on the road, finished the year 7-3 in their last 10 games, won 37 games in the Big East, and finished second in that conference behind Louisville by only a couple of games. So almost had Seton Hall as a two seed in my final projections, and those guys didn't make it in the whole field. So, I would look at Seton Hall's Campbell as the two big ones that really kind of irked me a little bit.
Kendall Rogers from PerfectGame.org joining us on Overtime. Kendall, when I look at the number one overall seed, North Carolina, and then you see Vanderbilt, I was kind of surprised to not see Vanderbilt as the number one overall seed, but I guess North Carolina's been there so much this year that they felt that they just needed to give North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I really thought Vanderbilt should have been the top overall national seed. I think when you look at a team like Vanderbilt, who obviously was flawless, almost flawless, only lost three games in conference, I thought they should have gotten it. So, in the grand scheme of things, I kind of agree with people in the sense of the national seed, where you are in the national seed really isn't that big of a deal because they don't reseed in Omaha. But I would have probably gone Vanderbilt over North Carolina.
Well, I tell you, I look over this whole thing and I see that when I look at – I think Arkansas can – if there's going to be an easy way out, Arkansas's got probably one of the easier regions in that Manhattan region. But, boy, if you're a Razorback fan, you really hope Oregon State can lose in the Corvallis region because that's going to be a tough region or super regional if that happens.
Yeah, I think I think that when you look at the Corvallis Regional, Oregon State is a team that a lot of people have not talked about, and I really like that team. I was able to go out there and see them earlier this year. They're a lot like Arkansas, to be honest with you. They go, they'll go 6, 7, 8 deep in their pitching staff, and they really don't skip a beat. Matt Boyd, their ace pitcher, is an outstanding left-handed arm. Andrew Moore, a freshman for them, has just been flawless from the right side. Then Ben Wetzel, another lefty, is their Sunday guy. So they go left, right, left, and those guys are very good. Now, they're not ultra-offensive, but they're very opportunistic. They're the type of team that when they get runners on base, they find a way to score runs. And I like that club a lot. I think if you're looking for a dark horse in the region, I think A&M's a team that I thought they played pretty well in Hoover. I'm still not sold they can win a regional because I'm not sure they have the pitching depth. But, we look at Daniel Meaden, we look at Parker Ray, the way he threw in the SEC tournament. They got a chance in that regional. But I like Oregon State to win that one. I like Arkansas to win Manhattan. And that'll be a heck of a series in Corvallis if those two win.
Kendall Rogers of PerfectGame.org joining us on Overtime. Man, Kendall, so much good insight. If you want to follow Kendall on Twitter, do so at Kendall Rogers PG. He posts all kinds of good stuff about the regionals, super regionals, and the College World Series on his Twitter account. Kendall Rogers, appreciate you joining us so much, man.
Hey, you guys bet. Y'all have a good one.